telling them and showing them that he is not angry, that he is not resentful. In some way, he, the one who suffered, really is trying to console those who were with him, who have shared a little bit of his suffering, and maybe some of them who suffer a kind of deception, or that they were weak in their faith. He's coming to look for each one of them, to strengthen their faith and to assure them his presence, his love, in some way his friendship. And I like very much this passage of chapter 21st of St. John. I think it's a beautiful chapter with a lot of theological meaning, spiritual meaning, and at the same time, like, very touching for our hearts. We see how Peter is there with some other disciples, and then Peter says, well, one little detail is that always St. Peter is the first one on the list, and that's something that is also supporting the primate of Peter. Not only when Jesus told him, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, no, on this rock I will build my church, but every time that the Gospels or the letters of St. Paul, the New Testament, when they give us the list of the apostles, Peter is always the first one. Here again he is the first one, and he said to the others, I'm going fishing. And they tell him, we go with you. Is that unity in love, when they are all together, how easy it is to obey when there is union and when there is charity. All of them are like one body. They are the symbol of the church, and they go on the boat of Peter, who is the symbol of the church too. That's why this chapter is full of this, let's say, ecclesiological meaning. It's a symbol of the church, the mission and the life of the church. Then, as you know, they are trying to fish and they caught nothing. They were professionals. They knew very well the lake. They live in Capernaum, was just at the shore of the lake. I mean, all their lives they have been fishing, swimming. They know almost every rock there. But after the whole night, they caught nothing. Why? Jesus was not with them. In some way, it's a kind of a human effort that is useless when we try to do it ourselves. And then Jesus is presenting himself, reveals himself to the apostles. He's at the shore. And that's another symbol. Today, we are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord. That shore is like the border between time and eternity. It's morning also. It's early morning. It's like a new day, a new beginning. The resurrection of Christ is bringing us a new beginning. Something new in Christ has been opened. And he's asking them, do you have any fish? And you can imagine they were not very happy with the question. They have to be humble and say no. And Jesus tells them, cast out your nets. On your word. I mean, they do that because Jesus is telling them now to fish again. Let's see. Can you hear me now? Maybe you prefer not to hear me. You can sleep better. Jesus was telling them, to cast their nets again. And they have a great fishing, as you know. Because Jesus is now with them, because they are acting out of love and out of obedience. And because when Jesus is with us, He can do it in 1 second with His grace and with His power what we haven't been able to do in many years. We can apply that to our spiritual life too. How we can try for many, many years to overcome our defects, our sins, our attachments. But when we try to work ourselves, it is useless. But Jesus, in 1 second, He can change everything. He can change everything. Then He is encouraging us to have hope in Him and to know that He is powerful and that He wants us to be like Him. Then He will not deny His grace to any of us that when we try really to change, to do what He wants us to do, when we try to obey Him, and when we do our part. It's important to underline that, you know, Jesus was doing the miracle, but for Him was the same to just to tell them to cast their nets or to put the fish just directly inside the boat. It was the same, but He was asking them to work. And He gave fruit to their work. Their work was producing fruit because it was blessed by the Lord. Then we need to do our part too. We know that everything is grace, but the Lord wants us to work, to put our part, so that when he sees our efforts, He will give us His blessing and the fruits that we cannot reach by ourselves. It is John, the first one in recognizing the Lord. The disciple, he was the youngest of all the disciples. And probably, I like very much that he was resting his head on the heart, on the chest of Jesus. He had that great intimacy with Jesus Christ. And then he's the first one who is able to recognize the presence of Jesus. Maybe Jesus is with us in our lives quite often, and we are not able to recognize His presence. Then we need to have that faith and that intimacy with Christ, like John, so that we can recognize His presence. And you can imagine how Peter, when he heard that, you know, it is the Lord is there. And then Peter threw himself into the water and was swimming, as a crazy man, to reach the shore, to be with Jesus. And you can imagine that encounter in my last spiritual exercises. That was a very nice moment that I was never thinking before. When Peter is reaching that beach where Jesus is waiting for him. Because in the heart of Peter, still there was some pain. Because he had betrayed Jesus. We can imagine how Jesus was waiting for him. The way that Jesus was looking at him, smiling at him, welcoming him, letting him know that his heart was open. That he was not going to tell him, no, forget about what I told you. Jesus is keeping his vocation, his call. And Peter is going to be reaffirmed in his mission. It's very nice we see how delicate and how many details our Lord has. He was preparing for them something to eat. And that's another symbol of the church. The church that is founded on the Eucharist. Fish and bread. Jesus Himself is the high and eternal priest. And Today too, he himself, through his priest, is going to give you his body. And Jesus himself today is preparing for you something to eat. He's preparing his own body. As you know, the fish was a symbol for the first Christians of Jesus himself. The Eucharistic Church. Then we have a church that is symbolized by the boat of Peter. Peter is the head. A church that is based on the Eucharist. And it's a church that has been sent to the world to fish. To fish. To rescue men from the sea of this world, to bring them into eternal life. Even the fact that the nets were not broken is also a symbol. And the many different numbers of fishes they caught, 153, a particular number, is a symbol of the fathers of the church. They gave different interpretations of that number. But mainly what they think that it represents is the universal church. Universal church. The church has been sent to every people, every nation, because Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. Then we need to be conscious of our mission too. We are called to evangelize, to bring Jesus, to bring His light and His life, as we said yesterday, to everybody around us. We cannot keep for us the light and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. And finally, that dialogue between Jesus and Peter. Peter, do you love me more than this? You see, the main thing is Jesus is asking just about love. Then if we really want to be His disciples, if we really want to follow Jesus Christ, that's the main thing. Do you love me? That is the big question. The question that Jesus is directing to each one of us. Do you love me? Because it is that true love in our hearts that it's making our faith authentic. Otherwise we will be, as I usually say, members of a religious club. If we don't love Jesus Christ, and if we don't love the others because He loves them, if we don't feel in our hearts the same pain that Jesus feels when He sees somebody far from Him, our heart is not connected to His heart. But this is the main question. Do you love me? And if you can really say, Lord, you know everything, you know that I love you. If we can honestly say that, we can say that we are in the good path. That we can one day be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Even we can see with Peter, he denied Jesus. But still Jesus is close to him. He is full of mercy. We don't see any like hard word, anything that is a reproach to Peter. It's just to renew or trying to encourage him to love him again. And to maybe repair with his love the lack of love that he had before. And I think this is a very nice summary of our Christian life. Do you love me? For me as a priest, and maybe for some others, even as in a lay vocation, it's important the answer that Jesus is giving. You know, if you love me, feed my lambs. Take care of others. If you love me, Love the ones that I love. Take care of them. Help them to know me. Feed my lambs. That's a very nice mission for a priest, but it's also nice for a father in a family, for a mother. Take care of the one that I love. Feed my lambs. If you love me, give your life for them. Then the Lord again is encouraging us to imitate His self-giving and His self-donation. Feed my lamb. And finally, that Jesus is telling Peter again, follow me. When you were young, I will read this because I don't know this at all in English. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. That part is very, very rich. When you were younger, sometimes when we are young in our faith, we dress ourselves. That means we do what we want. We are following our will. We take our own decisions. When you will be older, when you will be mature in your faith, in your love for Christ, someone else will dress you. Someone else is God Himself. Then, in a mature Christian, it is the will of God, the one that is ruling our decisions, the one that is telling us where to go and what to do. And finally, Jesus told him, follow me, follow me. Then today He is also repeating to each one of us that, follow me, be my disciple. No matter if you have not been good, if you have betrayed me, if you have denied me, it doesn't matter. Follow me. Now He's calling each one of us again today to follow Him. And to follow Him means to not to be before Him, not to be telling Him what to do, but to be obedient in our faith and to follow His indications, to follow His will, to do what He wants us to do. Now I'm going to leave you with Him. And hopefully that you can establish that personal dialogue in your heart with Him. He will ask you from the Eucharist, do you love me? And then think what you are going to answer.